Mesmo que esteja na razão, eu não consigo achar nenhum limite. O nosso espírito vai associar a vida. E quando essa semana passa, eu vou fazer essa vitória. Para trabalhar nessa matéria, na boa, essa forma, que não é desse, sabe, em Marawaias. Na verdade, eu estou muito mais trabalhando essa isso. Mas eu vou mais informações, para concordar, essa internet, ó. So, cause it's very hard, and with the empty stomachs, this can high be futile. And this is also a time of good reflection to ask another magic champion, Parapana Panginoon, and pray that Pastor Brian would serve us well for the evening. As you, most of you know, 3 years of the Vasa Jalagi, 3 years in 3 different stations, or 3 different locations. So, in short, you could pull your stations along and drive it from kitchen, crew, to dining, to pantry, fry, pati yung mga nag-overnight na din yung San Jose Negro, tutulog yung camera. So, I thought Jollibee was like sa akin, in-apply ako rin yung unang Jollibee saan sa California, pero hindi ako nakapasa. So, that was quite a journey sa akin. Noong bago-bago, siguro mga 7 years ko sa Jollibee, gusto ko lumipat from kitchen to dining. So, dining crew. Pagpunta ng dining crew, tinanggap naman ako at kinaliwanan sa akin maraming mga instructions na binigay. Kung ano ang mga expectations, kung ano ang dapat gagawin, kung ano ang attitude kapag ito ay dining. Kasama na rin dito is dapat may kusa. Kung may nakikita ka ng kailangan ng posto na, ilagagad ka na. Dapat nandoon, hindi na kailangan na antay. Dapat pleasant. Dapat always ready to help and serve. Yeah. So, as I was meditating yung passage natin dito, and then trying to get yung meaning ng word na dito, which is kukusapan natin, ayoko naman siya kung para sa pagiging waiter, no? Pero it literally is. Yung po ang pinaka-connection niya. Connection po siya sa pagiging waiter or server ng mga meals. Kasi siya yung natitignan ko natin dito. So, ano kinalaman nito sa ating pag-aaralan ng today? Ano ba ang biko? So, yung pag-aaralan. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa book of 1 Timothy. This is Paul's letter sa isang batang pastor ng pangalan ay Timothy. Pinadala niya si Timothy sa iglesia na kanyang tinanong because it's going through a series of issues and he now instructs si Timothy sa mga areas that how the church should corporately worship and behave. We have learned that a healthy church is a church that teaches the right gospel, a church that prays the gospel na kung saan that would lead different kinds and classes of people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, a healthy church where men lead in prayer, okay? And praises sa kanyang corporate gathering at hindi dapat nakikipag-away. Where women learn in full submission to the leaders of the church and dress modestly. Tapos last week, hindi naman natin yung isa sa mga office ng leadership ng church, which is yung elders or pastors. The elders should be men who are above reproach, able to teach, and should be living in life na kung saan naaayon sa salita ng Diyos. So, ngayon gabi naman, Paul will show us a couple of important elements para isang iglesia maging healthy. Okay? And ang point natin ngayon gabi is this. A healthy church is served by godly servants who help enable gospel ministry of godly members who uphold the truth of the gospel. So, mahaba po. Okay? A healthy church is served by godly servants who help enable gospel ministry of godly members who uphold the truth of the gospel. Let it sink in. Okay? Number one, gospel-enabled servants. Chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. And number two, gospel-upholding churches. Verses 14 to 16 of chapter 3. Number one, gospel servants. We'll divide that into asking the question what they do and who they are. So what do they do? Ibang nagawa ng mga servants ito, yung itabi ng deacons. Ang deacons o ang mga diakono sa Tagalog, malaki po yung Tagalog sa original ng language, which is diakonos, yung plural diakonos, yung singular, which means tagapaglingkod. Pinalagaan niya ang physical needs ng church, lalo na yung mga nangangailangan. Ang mga unang deacons sa Jerusalem were appointed as table waiters or people who serve meals to the church members who are in need. So makita po natin ito sa Acts chapter 6, verse 1 and 4, may nagkaroon po na concerns or issues dahil na sa distribution po ng pagkain, yung rasyon ng pagkain. So, ano ba yung nature ng kanilang conflict? Kasi yung mga Hellenista, o pag sinabing Hellenista, yung mga Greek-speaking Jews, nagreklamo sa mga, yung pagreklamo nila nakarating sa apostles, lalo sa mga Palestinian Jews, ay napabayaan ng kanilang mga widows, yung kanilang mga byuda, ano? Dahil sa food distribution. So in short, parang nangyayari po rito, eh, parang may discrimination na nangyayari. At sa loob ng church, ay dahan-dahan nagkakaroon ito at nagdudulot ng division or potential division sa loob ng church. So the elders told the church to choose seven men filled with the Spirit, wisdom upang pangunahan ang gawain na ito at paglingkuran yung mga nangangailangan. Samantalang totoo naman ng mga elders yung kanilang enerhiya, ang kanilang oras sa panalangin, sa prayer, at sa pag-aaral at pagturo ng salita ng Diyos, the work of teaching God's Word. But ano naging resulta nito? Ano naging resulta sa ganitong klase ng panalangin? Kasi dito sa Acts chapter 6, makikita natin yung mismong responsibility to two offices, which is elders and deacons, and how yung kanilang responsibilities complement. Sabi niya, dahil sa nangyari po ito, ito yung result. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Kita-kita po yung kahalagahan ng mga deacons dito. So allow me to give three reasons bakit ito mahalaga sa isang iglesia. Number one, because deacons provide practical needs to the church. They provide practical needs sa church. Ang isang deacon embodies God's care for His people. At nagsisilbing isang mabuting gospel witness sa mga hindi mananampalataya. Dito sa Crossroads, we have been gifted by four godly, hardworking, and faithful deacons. Kung pupunta po niyo sa inyong bulletin, nasa page 14 po. Diyan niyo po makikita yung ating mga deacons. So, reason why binuksan ko po yun, so that you can know them, pray for them, and thank the Lord sa inyong buhay. Okay? So, if I may introduce them sa inyo, unang-una si Lex Aldidera, siya po yung deacon ng setup. So, ang setup, kung pagpunta po tayo sa church, hindi po magically nagkakaroon po ng magandang setup dito. Although may mga gamit dito na nandito na, pero most of the speakers, sa mga wires, yung mga mics, lahat po yan, bit-bit ng team ni Kuya Rex. So, ito yung team ko niya mismo na pinangunahan niya. So, they work very hard. They come earlier. Nung summer, patay pa yung aircon. But they serve and they work with joy. Isa naman biko natin yung si Kuya Elmer Valero, which is kayo yung biko ng Psalm. So magdas, magkasabay po yan. Si Kuya Elmer and then eventually si Kuya Rex magkasama. Ang biko ng Psalm ensures na we have all our mics ready. Yung sound system natin, good to go, na nagre-record po siya. Hindi yung nagkakaroon ng distraction or distortion. So, hindi na kailangan ng mga elders sa pagpupunta, kami mismo magkakabit ng mga wires. They've been very helpful sa amin sa area na ito. Third, si Sally Cruz, siya po yung deacon ng membership class. She prepares our process ng membership class. Siya po yung nag-coordinate sa mga attend, nag-i-email sa ating mga elders kung sino yung interviewin namin. Siya nagbibigyan ng schedule. So, quarterly, she works on that. And she's done a very good job for the past years. And lastly, yung bagong addition po natin na deacon is si Chris Naresmo, which is yung deacon po ng ordinances. Ordinances means the Lord's Supper at saka po yung baptism. He's the one who monthly prepares the communion elements, nagpre-prepare, nag-assign, nag-roster,
chain of organized labor, kailangan po conducted training sa connections, and most of the mga connections team members ay part po na mismo nagsuserve sa communion. He also coordinates yung mga sa baptism natin, which happens quarterly then. So all of our deacons are hardworking men at women who love the Lord, who loves to serve the church. So, if magkaroon po kayo, mga, these people are unsung heroes, bihira natin makita sila sa harapan. So if you have opportunities after the service, thank them, pray them, message them. They would not say this sa harapan, pero they would rather work silently and serve the Lord and serve you. So, yan po yun. Deacons provide practical needs to church. So far, we're praying for more. We're praying as the church grows, as the church grows as age and number, and as we grow our ministries, we need men and women who will serve us, who will lead in serving in the areas. Second, deacons protect the gospel unity of the church. It protects the gospel unity in the church. Ito ang nakita natin sa Acts chapter 6. Nagsimula ang division sa church at dahan-dahan nagsisimula ang division at dahil sa ministry ng deacons, all were served. Nawala po yung issue. It unified the congregation. Yung mga nagsabi ng mga deacons ay parang mga nagsisilbi shock absorbers ng iglesia. Because it's really hard work. They are a gift. They are gifts to Crossroads. Third, deacons propel the elders to do gospel ministry. They propel the elders to do the gospel ministry. Ano ang naging resulta ng unity mismo na sa Acts chapter 6? The gospel spread throughout Jerusalem, Judea, at Samaria. So because they have done their work well, ang nangyari, ang mga elders were able to focus on the ministry of the word and prayer. And since they have, hindi na kailangan intindihin yung some of the logistics or details ng pangalan ng church, they now can, with confidence, go to places and advance the gospel. At dahil dun, lumago po yung church acts. Explosive because of the gospel word ng mga manaw ito. Well, praise God. So deacons are really enablers of the gospel. They're enablers of the gospel. And we just want to say thank you publicly to the deacons who help us so we are able to focus on prayer and teaching of the word. So that's what they do. And who deployed it? Kaya titignan po natin yung qualities ng mga deacons. Kung mapapansin po natin, ang 1 Timothy chapter 3, na alas walang pinagkaiba po in verses 1 hanggang 7, sa qualifications or qualities ng verses 8 hanggang 13, na kung saan sa deacons at elders. However, meron siya isang important difference. Nga po, napakakaiba po natin sa qualifications, which is titignan po natin naman. Kasi very significant po siya. Let's run through this real quick. Unang-una, kung tayo po ay maghahanap, magpe-pray, o magkoconsider ng deacon, ito yung mga qualities na yun. But also, if you're here right now and you are serving the Lord, and I believe if there are any qualities that we should be looking, maybe na natin sa ating mga buhay, something that we must aspire. As children of God, who is deaconing, which means serving. Okay? First of all, dignified lives. Dignified lives. Worthy of respect or honorable. Yung pong ibig sabihin ito. Ito ay similar sa description sa isang elder na above reproach. Ito ay may kinalaman sa behavior or manners ng isang deacon. Dapat siya ay kagalang-galak sa loob at labas ng iglesia. So he's being respected or she's being respected. Second, no double tongue. Again, hindi ko literal ito, mga dalawa yung dila. Baka rin, okay na dila, hindi pa rin. Dalawa, hindi mo lang dila, hindi pa rin. So, hindi ko literal ito. So, this means saying something and doing another. No? Kunyari, may sasabihin ka, nalabas natin, iba naman ang gagawin mo. Okay? Kunyari,
punasan mo to, o sige, kung punasan ko yan, tapos hindi mo pinunasan. O kaya naman yung other way around, punasan mo, ayaw ko punasan yan, pero pinunasan mo. So, again, this makes sense in the practical area kasi you don't want a deacon who would say he would feed or she would do things better than the government. It will leave the church hanging. It will not serve the church well. May isang salita dapat siya, mapagkakatiwalaan. Very dependable. So not double tongue. Double tongue means also makamay double life. Pangalawa, not addicted to wine. Hindi naman, pareho ng elders, hindi naman pinagbabawal ng mga deacons ang mga nangarap. In fact, Paul encourages Timothy. Sa chapter 5, isasalalim po natin ito in a few weeks, na pwede huminom ng alak huwag ng tubig kasi it's for medicinal purposes. Again, hindi po license para tayo ay maging alcoholic. Hindi po ito. Ang point dito ay ayaw ng Diyos sa isang singer o sa kanyang officers. Okay, yun ang point dito. Next, not greedy for dishonest gain. Not greedy for dishonest gain. Nasa verse 8. Ito naman po yung katumbas ng elders na kung sa not lovers of money. One of the reasons ay yung early church, ang tagapamahala po ng finances ay yung mga deacons. Ang mga deacons ang mga nagkocollect at nagdi-disburse ng mga collections na pag may kailangan ng tulong ng itong iglesia. Kailangan mong bilhin. Yan po, dumadaan po sa deacons na. At dapat lang na siya ay hindi sakim sa pera kung hindi po mawagandas ang funds ng church. Maaaring wala po tayong current deacon of finance sa Crossroads. But I would say we have been blessed for almost 5 years by godly women who have overseen yung finances ng church well. Again, we are thankful for Ate Sara Martola, kay Rochelle Asiste, and now we who had handled our finances. Maraming salamat sa inyo. Deacons must have not only dignified lives, but also sound in doctrine. Sound in doctrine, which is the second part of this thematic in sound doctrine is a person. Ang salita mystery dito, hindi nakamahusgan na may mga bagay na unknown sa church na pilit nilang gustong alamin. Ang mystery dito po ay ang gospelism na matagal nang hidden at ngayon ay revealed through Christ's first coming, living, dying, resurrecting, and ascending. And as this gospel is proclaimed, it is revealed to those the Lord intended to reveal. As the gospel is preached, God reveals himself. Ano sinasabi ko natin? Dapat ang mga deacons ay orthodox in theology. Ano ibig sabihin po natin yan? Ibig sabihin po yan, yung theology po nila is sound. Or they must believe, able to articulate, and defend ang mga basic teachings and principles ng Christian faith. They can understand, believe, and they live. Kaya yung kanilang paniniwala. Siya ay nag-agree sa ating statement of faith. Okay? So yun yung isa sa mga ini-evaluate namin if may potential dito, if they agree or they uphold yung ating statement of faith. Again, if dito po ay naligay, this is a huge factor in choosing a deacon, parang elder po. Because we're not just seeing how they live, but also what we believe. Because what we believe will affect how we and how we speak. And it's sad because we know of a deacon is a very sound, very good church. Na lumihis or strayed from the right doctrine. And he was removed. So importante po yung sound theology sa ating mga servants, deacons who are in office. Ang deaconing ay hindi fundamentally isang teaching office, just to make that clear. Hindi po siya teaching office, kung hindi isang serving office. Wala silang kaparehas ng teaching authority tulad ng elders or pastors. At dito naiiba ang qualifications ng elders at saka deacons. Sa chapter 3, verse 2, makikita po natin na elders or pastors are able to teach. Dito naman, they should have sound theology, pero hindi na siya requirement in order for this person to be in the office ng deacon. In fact, ang dahilan kung bakit na-appoint ang mga deacons sa office is for the elders to focus on preaching. Does that make sense? So, question. So, ibig sabihin ba po nito, Pastor, hindi pwede kahit saan larangan mag-teach ng salita ng Diyos sa isang deacon? Hindi naman. Hindi ibig sabihin na hindi ibig sabihin nito ay pinitigilan magturo sa ibang larangan ng mga deacons. Let me clarify that. Kasi katuloy niyo, para saan pa po ang kanilang theological minds, which is required, which is mga qualifications, kung hindi rin nila ito ibabahagi. Okay? They're not required, pero hindi ibig sabihin hindi nila pwede ituro ang kanilang larangan patungkol sa salita ng Diyos. In fact, they too must model, serve, lead, and teach ang mga fundamental teachings ng Christianity sa mga members in some areas. Okay, very, very specific. Some areas. Ano yung some areas na yan? Ano yung ibang larangan nyo? Let me mention a few. Sa pagbigay ng biblical encouragement or counsel sa mga kapatiran na panghihinaan nyo, they should impart God's word. They should be training other men and women how to serve. They should be discipling other people, one-to-one, life-on-life discipleship. That's well one way of teaching God's word. Evangelize or preach the gospel. They should be teaching that, bilang deacons, like any ordinary member na wala sa office. As a matter of fact, we have a very powerful preacher na matatagpuan sa Acts chapter 7 and 8. Punsara pangalan ni Stephen. He was so well sa pag-present, pag-preach ng gospel, it cost him his life. Ganun din si Philip, another deacon. Preach the word. Kung sila ay lalaki, pwede sa crossroad, kung sila po yung lalaki, pwede sila magturo ng community group. Sa community group, they can lead. They can teach our classes. So yes, deacons can teach. Pero hindi ito prerequisite. Hindi ito one of the qualifications na hinahanap. Now, if this brother is growing in his teaching, growing in leading, then maybe he should be another. Hindi po. So, deacons must know their Bibles para hindi sila lupihin sa tamang doktrina. And could model serving and living a life in light sa doktrina ng kanilang pinaniniwalaan. Verse 10, let them be tested. Let them be tested. Ang mga deacons ay dapat subukin muna bago i-consider sa office. Wala pong specific process in examining ang deacons. Walang inaplika sa Bible kung ano yung step by step. So there is freedom. The Bible gives us freedom sa area na ito. Pero sa process, how do we choose our deacons? Well, first of all, we pray. The elders pray. Maybe na tao na it's an Australian term, a bloke worth watching. Okay, bloke in Australian means young man. But in this case, it's men and women worth watching. So, lagi nakabukas ang aming mga mata, nakabukas ang aming mga tenga. Always on the lookout. You see no potential deacon. Even elders, always on the look. And we pray. So, consider magpipit sa diaconal role. So, suppose we choose individuals for a diaconal role if they are already faithfully doing a deacon type of work. Yun ang tinatawag namin kapag ginagawa lang nila ito. Natural na ito kahit wala sa office or position, sila po ay ganun na. They're deaconing already. They're serving already. The elders would pray for them. Interview them. Invite them for an interview. Kung sila po'y may asawa, i-schedule din ang asawa sa interview kasama sa mga dalawa. Then we would, and if we are convinced that we have been tested for a season, we would recommend them sa members meeting. As a deacon.
And then after 2 months, the church would vote. 2 months, what happened in the 2 months? The church would pray, get to know them, and serve them even more, and pray. And to hear from the church through the vote, they qualified. And then on the second month, the next members meeting, we vote them in. So that's the process for natin. But ang point dito is they need to be tested. We should not be hasty laying hands on people or giving authority or giving people the office, either an elder or deacon. So next, stable family. Verse 12. That deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. Gaya din po ito ng elders. Ang issue po dito is purity. Sexual purity, kapag single, marital faithfulness, kapag married. Siya din ay isang mabuting magulang sa kanyang anak. Since ang household noong panahon na ito ay kasama ang mga servants, this verse then would also include working relationships sa kanilang mga colleagues o trabaho sa panahon na ito. Paano siya magiging respectable in the church if he is not respectable sa kanyang trabaho? If you are thinking of the office of a deacon or pray, or kahit hindi mo kinoconsider ang office ng deacon, but you claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, I'd like us to ask these questions sa ating nasa inyo. First of all, and this is like a review from last week. Ikaw ba ay faithful sa asawa mo in your actions and your affections? Well, narinigan naman na last week, Pastor, yes. How has it been after a week? Pastor, narinig ko. Pastor, na-encourage ako last week. Great! Ano action? Maybe this is your second reminder saying to do something. That's why do something. Samahan mo kami. Okay? Be ready for tomorrow as we invest in our marriage. I want you to invest in your marriage. There's a lot of ways, pero isa sa mga paraan. Ito mga ganap po na a couple's dinner is not just a one-time event para sa couples, but it is a springboard sa mga gagawin po nating ministries for the couples. So be watching for that, waiting for that. Okay? Another question is, do you nurture your children with the word of God? Again, a second reminder for us. Well, Pastor, if you're helping, I'm going to invest now sa aking mga anak, then I'll be able to invest in this week. I'm sorry, investment this week. It's mine. For the faces of my enemies. Here's another question. Are you respected sa iyong opisina? Are you respected? Now, I'm not talking about respect because of your position. I'm not talking about respect dahil sa achievements mo. Ginagala ka din, marami ka na-accomplish. O kaya naman, marami kang kakayanan. Sometimes, kahit wala kang position sa office, pero magaling ka sa ginagawa mo, you earn the respect. Hindi po yung mga respect na inadaram ko. But because of how you cared for your colleagues in this way. How you cared for your superiors. And how you exalted Christ in your deeds. Are you being respected for this? If a deacon cannot manage his household, he will bring disorder to God's house. Ang training ground para sa deacons ay parehas po ng elders. Sa pamilya. Sa pamilya. Sa marriage. Sa parenting. So as mentioned, ang office ng deacon is not an office of spiritual authority. It is not a teaching office, but a serving office. That is why ang mga babaihan ay pwedeng maging deacon. And that's what our church believes. Tinuturo ng Bible. Verse 11 in chapter 3. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. So original language, it literally says the women. But pwede rin yung the wife. Pwede yung the women and the wives. So Matthew 22, it is also used as widow. So, wala siya talagang possessive pronoun na there. At sa ang rendering ng ESV is my third. Pero yung original is the. The woman, the wise. So wala talagang personal pronoun. So, kung mapapansin niyo po, sa Bible nyo, may tinatawag ng footnote. Ito po yung mga maliliit na salita or words na naka-indicate po doon sa baba ng Bible po ninyo, which is kung nakabukas na sa 1 Timothy chapter 3, for the passage ko, you would look sa pinakbaba, yung mga maliliit na words na tawag po dyan ay footnotes. Okay? At mapapansin po dyan, this means it could either, mababanggit din po yung point na yan. So which means it could either go either way, maaaring wives o maaaring women ang pwedeng translation ng salitang their wives. So ang makakapag-determine lamang po dito is yung greater context ng scripture. And from here, makakatulong sa atin yung sa ating decision making. Ano ba ito? Wives bang pinag-uusapan dito? Because wife o babae dito? So yun yung dalawang pinag-uusapan natin dito. So meron tayong dalawang magandang dahilan para paniwalaan na ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito is he's giving instructions to women, female deacons. Unang-una. And again, we are looking out in greater context in scripture, especially in the New Testament. Unang-una, a female deacon named Phoebe. A female deacon named Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Nabanggit po yun dito. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant. Diakonon, singular, or if we ginamit din po niya is deacon. Ginamit po dyan, you can read that verse 2 later on. Paul addresses Phoebe as a deacon. It seems that there are female deacons serving with Paul in the New Testament. Second reason, no mention of elders' wives. Wala mo bang yan? May elders' wife, pero may deacon wife. So yun po yung argument. Okay? So sa chapter 3, walang nabanggit pa tungkol sa elders' wives, sa deacons lang. So ang tanong, bakit nagpataw ng requirement or ng qualification ng deacons' wives si Paul at hindi ina-apply sa elders' wives? Lalo-lalo na, na ang mga elders ang tumatayo ng spiritual authority ng iglesia. Bakit hindi nabanggit doon? Bakit dito na? So, I believe, ang tamang pagbasa po dito ay Paul is addressing female deacons. At ang sinasabi niya ay likewise, tulad ng male deacons. Likewise, tulad ng elders. Kita niyo yan? So, Paul calls them co-workers, mga female deacons. Sa Crossroads, meron tayo female deacon. Salam. We're praying for more. And we praise God sa life ni Sally Cruz, who has been saved, which is my responsibilities na hindi rin biro because it takes a lot of time and energy and coordination and takes also in school. That's why we got this sa office nito because yung kanyang work matches yung heart na sa love niya sa Panginoon. So pray for some. At marami sa ating mga kababaihan sa Crossroads, though they do not hold the office of the deacon, they are deaconing well. Our Crossroads women are deaconing or serving well sa ating iglesia. Women who can teach, women who disciple, women who counsel other women and teach God's word to kids and to the youth. We have women who are deaconing faithfully for the glory of God. The only office na hindi pwedeng i-occupy ng kababaihan ay ang office ng overseer, ng elder, or ng pastor. So, hindi po pwede maging pastora. Okay? Iyon yung madalas ang maraming natin sa ating bansa, sa ating lingwahe. Okay? Or female pastor. Pastora is female pastor. Itong office na ito ay restricted lamang sa mga kalalakihan at hindi po sa kababaihan. Kasi ang mga pastors or elders exercise spiritual authority sa iglesia sa pamamagitan ng teaching of God's Word. Kaya po walang pastora o hindi pwede maging pastor ang kababaihan dahil lang meron po tayong warag sa 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11. At ano yung warag? I do not permit women to teach or to exercise authority over men. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And then Paul gives his argument, the following verse, the fall of the creation argument, which we have talked about a couple of weeks ago. But then we might know who we are, for this is recorded. Now, sa mga kapatid natin ng dito, marami siguro may mga mahal tayo sa buhay na babae na kasama. I know this is hard for you to hear, considering marahil na ginamit itong individual na ito upang tayo makalapit sa kanila. Inaruga tayo, ininatan tayo, minahal tayo, inuwi para sa ang anak, umari, anak kayo, ng filial pastor. And I know, I can acknowledge that this is taking place. We're not saying, stop loving them. Keep loving them. Keep loving them enough to teach what the Bible says. Ang salita ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng letter ni Paul kay Timothy is an instruction on how the church should behave in public worship. Ito ang dapat po natin ang hawak. Meron tayong member na dating pastor. At ito po si Inay Mary. Si Inay Mary po ay dating female pastor. Nung dumalo po siya dito sa Dubai a few years back, si Eric, ang kanyang anak na si Sally, persistently shared God's word sa kanya. Persistently sharing God's word. And until we should, they're praying na maliwanagan si Inay Mary. And she knew, praise God. Alam mo na, kung gano'ng kahirap yun, that you would open God's words, that you would teach your parents, no? The person who taught you how to open the Bible. Hindi mo nalang yun. And considering as a spiritual teacher sa kanilang iglesia, it gives even a bad because of the love of God's word, the love for Christ, the love that you may marry. Talagang pino mo na magsasabi. Ano yung tama sa ganito? Naliwanagan si Inay Mary. Praise God! Nung umuwi siya sa Pinas, kinausap na kagad ang head pastor niya sa Batangas, nahihinto na siya sa pagpapastor dahil naroon yung mga nangyayari na po siya. Praise God! Umalik siya sa Dubai, nagpa-member sa Inay Mary. Ngayon, pato po natin siya. And she is now deaconing. Serving other women in the world. So we praise the Lord for the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Paul's concern is that the leadership of the church would reflect God's character to the watching world. Again, the only office na hindi pwede i-occupy na kababaihan ay ang office ng pastor, pero hindi ko po ay pwede. Maaaring you don't hold a diaconal office at Crossroads, pero you are part ng ministry. Isa sa mga ministries ng Crossroads. Let me ask you these questions. Kung ikaw po ay naglilingkod sa iglesia na ito, are you a servant of the people in this room? Do you see yourself as a servant? Do you come early sa church at naghahanap ng mga paraan para maglilingkod? Or tayo ba ay ang tipong late at nag-aantay ng mapag-ibigan? O kaya naman kayo aktibo sa paglilingkod? Aktibo sa paglilingkod sa ating mga kapatid, ngunit gano'n din ba tayo kaapoy maglilingkod sa ating asawa at mga hindi? Sa ating mga magulang at kapatid? Nasa tama ba ang puso mo ngayon sa paglilingkod? Tayo ba'y naglilingkod lamang para sa atensyon? Para sa pasasalamat? Pumapasalamatan? Para sa parangal? Imbis na sa panguluwalhati ng Panginoon, tayo ba ay naglilingkod habang nasa kasagsagan
ng kasalanan. Kung tayo po yan, marahil siguro na sumangguni po kayo sa sumamang pastor ng Iglesia ni Tito. At mabigyan po tayo ng tayo nasasabi sa siya. Kasi hindi po tayo pwede magpatuloy sa paglilingkod sa Panginoon, pag-serve sa ministry, if we are in unrepentant sin. We cannot do that. If you are a member of Crossroads and you praise God, now every week you get to be blessed by the service, you get to be blessed by the singing, by the praying, by the fellowshipping, by the preaching, then praise God. Praise God. We are glad that your soul is blessed. But could it be that it's our time to be a blessing? Are you certain? Ang kalakaran po dito sa Dubai, kung sino ang nasa taas, siya ang paglilingkuran. Kung sino yung top man, top guy, yan ang dapat paglilingkuran. We are, and that also reflects kung ano talaga yung nasa part po natin. We are people who do not want to serve. We do not want to serve. Ang nature ng tao ay laging pakabig. Laging pakabig. Gusto natin tayo lagi ang pinaglilingkuran, pinakitinggan, pinagbibigyan. Gusto natin tayo lagi ang iniintindi, inuuna. Gusto natin kung mai-involve or mag-i-invest tayo sa buhay ng isang tao, dapat meron kapakinabangan sa akin. It's all about us. Our consumer mentality is hurting our relationships. We do not want to help the poor. We do not want to help the helpless. We don't care for the needy. Kasi ang tingin natin, tayo ang laging needy. Because we look at ourselves as someone na kung saan hindi dapat umabot sila ang aabot sa atin. Because the only God that we want to really serve is ourselves. And that is idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 gives us a list of people who God will judge. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Kasama po dyan yung idolaters. And if we are people who love ourselves so much, that's idolatry. How do I know that I love myself so much? We go to our context. Are you serving? Are you serving with joy and with love yung family mo, yung mga kapatid mo, yung mga kasamahan mo sa trabaho, kung gusto mo eh, sila dapat susunod sa iyo. Kahit boss mo na yan, dapat sa susunod sa iyo. Or even sa ating iglesia. Jesus said to John 8, verse 34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And those who live in sin will face God's judgment. Dahil na nabanggit po kanina, ang kalakaran po ng Dubai, actually hindi na po ng Dubai, ang kalakaran ng mundo, ay kung sinong nasa taas, siya ang pinagiging po. And ganunin po ito sa atin, kung sino ang nagmamataas, gusto natin pagiging. Pero sa kalakaran ng Diyos, baligtad. Baligtad. Whoever wants to be great must be a servant of God. Jesus is the great King who is worshipped and served by all heaven's angels, became the greatest servant of all. Let me read Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Of
Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And then Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28 tells us, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Friends, Jesus is the great servant king who came to serve us by giving his life on the cross. Para sa mga tao ayaw maglingkod at mataas. Friends, there is a call, there is an invitation. So, the one Christ on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection, we are invited to humble ourselves to this servant king by turning away from my idolatry, turning away from self-entitlement, turning away from being selfish, and putting our faith and trust in Christ's finished work on the cross for forgiveness, for reconciliation, regeneration, for salvation. Shalom paraan para sa ating kaligtasan. We are no longer slaves to sin for those who trust in Christ, but slaves to righteousness. Number two in this, gospel churches. 14 to 15. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. Gusto ni Paul bisitahin yung church sa Ephesus to give more encouragement and instructions and support sa Timothy, pero hindi siya sure kung makakabalik sa friend sa mga possible challenges na harap along the way. Dito sinasabi ni Paul na layunin kung bakit siya sumulat kay Timothy, and that is to command how God's people ought to appropriately behave sa loob ng church. At yung po inaral natin from chapter 1, and chapter 2, and now in chapter 3. Paul emphasizes a passage na ito that God lives among us and tells us what to do. Mga kapatid, nandito ang Panginoon ngayon sa gathering natin ngayong gabi. At ang tawag sa atin sa verse 15 ay household of God. This doesn't mean building. Hindi ho ibig sabihin ito ay building, but the family of God at si Christ ang head. Paul refers to them as the church of the living God. The Church of the Living God. Friends, this means na itong local assembly na ito, na kung saan kayo nabibilang, is the Church of the Living God. God lives in His people, lalo na sa corporate worship, where we sing, hear God's Word, read God's Word, preach God's Word, witness this through baptism and the Lord's Supper. He is here among us. God literally is, well, this is somehow a song of the Bible, God is in the house. In this house. Friends, God is here with us, and He is the one. He is the one warming our hearts. He is the one who is speaking to you through the songs that pinakanta natin, through the prayers that napapakinggan natin, through the conversation you had this week with godly men and women. And He's speaking to you probably now. He is here. According to Martin Luther, at home in my house, there is no warmth or vigorating. But in the church, when a multitude is gathered together, there is a fire kindled in my heart
and it breaks its way through. That's why we don't want to miss your gathering natin every week. Paul describes the church in architectural terms. Tawag niya sa atin ay pillar, a foundation of the truth. Ito ang image niya where people are holding up the truth parang isang pillar or ng building or something displaying something pag nakataas. It's stabilizing and guarding. Yung po, picture ko neto. So, sa first century Ephesus, naunawala ng mga tao, yung sabihin ng image nila ito. Dahil sa famous shrine or temple ng goddess na si Artemis or si Diana. Isa ito sa seven wonders of the world ng ancient times. Ito, ang task po atin is 100 iconic columns. Yung nakataas na yun. And 18 meters ang taas, which together lifted up isang malaki at isang engarbo na marble na roof. O kisame. Pag sinabi yung pillars, immediately that would come in your mind. So, ginagamit ito ni Paul to encourage ang isang persecuted, struggling, and disheartened church Ephesus kung saan nag-gather sa isang bahay to tell them na wala pa yung death for them. You are the temple of the living God. That they supported the truth in their lives and they should be holding it up, the truth, like pillars. Oh, that the people in Ephesus would see and glorify God. I think it's Artemis. Friends, we must lift up the truth. Let us be the foundation and pillar of the truth, just like the apostles now in the church. Friends, God's evangelistic plan is the local church. The church is parang may nagsabi na parang broadcast, radio broadcast to na kung saan laging pinarinig ang gospel. The church, we announce it week by week yung gospel. We gather, we hear God's word, and then we scatter, we share God's word. The ordinary local assembly is the pillar and foundation of the truth, which is us. It is we who will protect and promote the truth. Verse 14 to 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations. The mystery of Jesus Christ dito is described sa six lines na ito. Ito yung mystery. Some say it's a creed, some say it's a confession, some say it's a hymn. But whatever this is, ito yung binabalik-balik ni Paul sa kanya. Balikin din. Sabi mo dyan, yung first line, it talks about the incarnation. God in the flesh lived, died, and was resurrected. Vindication of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that confirmed and proved that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of the world by raising Him up from the dead. Third line is angels witnessed the incarnation. Ministered to Jesus when He was tempted. Ministered to Jesus, strengthening Him. So ministering us across. Fourth, preach among the nations. Jesus was proclaimed among the nations. It was given as a great commission. And then we've seen it grow at Pentecost, which everybody who heard the gospel believed, which is your fourth. A fifth. We know that in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, when the gospel was preached, 3,000 were added to the church. And lastly, this refers to the second coming of His promise to conquer His people in the world. The church holds this mystery. Paano natin gagawin ito? Last few points. Number one, protect the truth at cost. Protect the truth. Insist and expect the weekly teaching of God's word. Insist and expect. Kung hindi faithful ang preacher or ang pastors, call them out. Call them out. When you join the church, you agree to protect yung purity ng gospel ng pulpit na ito. Yun ang reason kung bakit pinagalitan ni Paul sa Galatians chapter 1 in Galatians. You foolish Galatians. Hindi pinagalitan ng pastor. Pinagalitan ay yung iglesia. Second, be a member of the church. Be a member of the church. Itong paraan for us to affirm one another's faith.
By being a member of a church, you are watching and caring for the members in the congregation. Well, Jesus the Crossroads, when we say Crossroads, we know it means members. So we do this by, as you become a member, do have spiritual conversations. We want more than casual relationships where we want to be intentional and spiritual. Third, be ambassadors. We must be ambassadors in our own actions and words as if representing a specific sovereign, as representing a specific nation, because we are part of the kingdom of God. We should bear witness to the excellence of Christ and see people repent and believe itong gospel that we champion. Gospel churches promote and protect the gospel in their lives. As we have mentioned, something mapping a little bit. A healthy church is served by godly servants who help enable gospel ministry of godly members who uphold the truth of the gospel. Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who saved us and gave us a new life and a new purpose. We pray as a church that we would uphold the truth of the gospel, that we would hold it up so high that the world would see your beautiful love, and that we worship you and thank you for the grace of salvation through your Son. In Christ's name.